What does any of
Same
it
question.
happen in the entire series? Why do these things? Why does Lucy have a beard on her face? These are not questions we can answer, Colin. I'm sorry.
Like, you've got to suspend disbelief.
Tons of it.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Siva.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are going to be talking about season 1, episode 23, The Mustache. It was released.
What was that?
March 17th.
What was the name of that episode?
The Mustache.
Oh.
I mustache you a question.
There it is. That
joke. That's how it's spelled. There you go.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. It was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. That's a surprise, isn't it?
Mm hmm.
That it was written by those three?
Yes.
No. It was filmed February 8th, 1952. And the synopsis is basically that Ricky wants to grow a mustache, and Lucy doesn't like it. She's like, ew, no, get it off. And he won't. And so Lucy decides to put a beard on her face in order to make him shave it. And then I guess like the second, because there's kind of like two stories that mesh into one, so there's that little line there, and then the second one is that Ricky is going to be
like
auditioned.
Well, yeah, well, the reason that he had the mustache,
why he's, yeah, which is weird, I guess. I don't know, we'll talk about that,
we'll talk about it. But yeah, so
he's supposed to audition for this movie, and she wants to audition too, but she has a beard stuck to her face. It's a very long synopsis. Before we even
to her face, what
it is, it's cemented to her face. Before we even get started on the actual episode, mm-hmm, what are your feelings on mustaches?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Mustache,
just a mustache.
Mustache alone?
Just a mustache.
It's hard to pull off a good looking just mustache alone, because it gives you very much,
it looks like you have a caterpillar on your lip.
Well, it depends on how the hair grows, you know, but whoa. But YouTube. <Your lip. laughs> And it depends on how the hair grows. The mustache is very, very hard to pull off as a decent look. Now, a full on, you know, beard with the mustache,
beard with the mustache,
can be very,
that's all right,
attractive, can, you know, look fine. But I think the mustache was a very 80s look, very late 70s, 80s look that, you know, all the Burt Reynolds and, you know, all the men in Hollywood were rocking the stash, I think. Rocking the stash.
Second big question. We're just opening with two really big questions. Second big question. Is there anything that you've like told your husband, nope, don't like that? Like grooming wise.
No. No, I don't think so. No, I like from a grow a beard sometimes, because he just always shaves, and you know, I just, oh, when it grows, you know, it comes out, just like, it looks nice. But for the most part, no. How about you?
No mustache.
No mustache.
So my husband has not just a mustache. Mm-hmm. So my husband has the whole thing, you know, like the mustache, the beard, all works together, and it works. It is really nice. But I was like, don't just cut, and no super long sideburns.
Oh, like Tom Jones. You don't want him rocking like the Elvis lamb chops.
No.
That's a lick. Oh my gosh.
No. I don't know. I wasn't horribly surprised. Okay. So we haven't brought this up, but there's a website called WTF Lucy.
Yes.
And
it's a very aggressive
person. Very aggressive. I sometimes have a hard time reading it because I'm like, whoa, calm down. But she was like, wow, I don't know. She was talking about, or they were talking about how it was Lucy being, I don't know, a little bit extra this time. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's always people have preferences. Like, I cut my hair really short and my husband likes that. I went bald once because I do that often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's like, nope, don't like that. Please don't go
bring
bald
back the
again.
Hair. Yeah.
So, bring back the hair. He likes it short, but not bald. So,
yeah.
And now we know. So I feel like you're allowed to have, you're like, if you talk about it.
Well, there's a happy medium, I think,
really
where,
like,
yeah. I mean, if you met the person with, you know, very long hair, a woman, let's say very long hair, and suddenly she comes home and she's bald or she's got the pixie cut. It's her preference. She should be able to, you know, suddenly experiment. But I think asking the person that you are spending your life with, your time with, their opinion on the look is, you know, taken into consideration. But
it does sound like they've talked about this before. You know, there's history.
Right.
We'll talk about that. Like, this isn't just a new thing that she's going, oh, I hate it, get rid of it. They've talked about it. She knows how it grows in. She doesn't like it.
And if by any off chance, the creator of the WTF, you know, Lucy website listens or catches, sometimes I feel like maybe that the premise,
I just want to meet this person.
Yeah, the premise of our episode is not just, here's what happened in the episode. You know, here's the funny skits. It's our personal opinions, our modern take on what's happening in these episodes and how they would, you know, look today and how certain mm-hmm. things come across in marriages and things like that. And I feel sometimes like, did we overdo it? Do we talk too much about marriages and things? And then I read her or his.
And
I'm
then
not
you
sure.
read their, yeah,
yeah, their website.
We're
and like,
fine.
We're fine. We're fine. We're good. So I appreciate the happy medium that we have found, you know, doing these episodes.
I also want to know, like, is this just a thing for her that this person, I don't know if it's a her,
yeah,
this author, that they're started aggressive and now they're just continuing, and that's the voice that they're.
So if the author of WTF
with it,
Lucy is listening, yeah, we'd like to interview you.
I just want to talk.
So we start with
understand
them planning to go to the show or the movies,
yes,
movie. With the Mertzes. And so, you know, Lucy's is getting ready, you know, getting dressed. And then Ricky walks in with a thin mustache. Now, was she not aware that the hair is growing out? Because it looks like it's suddenly appeared sort of thing.
It did. It was like, you don't have it. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like the first day. Maybe he didn't shave it the day before, and then he was, I don't know, it depends on how fast his hair grows, because
a lot of what happens in this episode could have been avoided if he just started off with, the reason I'm growing this is for a potential audition, and then you move on, because eventually it'll go away after the audition. But he made it seem like this is the new look, this is what I'm
that
rocking.
He wants that to be, yeah, his thing,
right? And so I think a lot of the remainder of the episode could have been avoided. She could have not had us, well, we'll get into what happens to her, but,
but then there would be no episode. So right. So then he paints on a, so Lucy doesn't like it, she notices it. And then she tries to kiss it off him.
Nope, still there.
And I don't know. That's one of the things where I go, you know, I can understand a little bit where if you'd say, I don't really like when you look like that, but I won't tell you
right.
to go
change
it for
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just let you know that I'm not a fan of the choices you've made.
Like now choices. When he goes back to sit in front of the mirror, because he's not going to be removing it, is he brushing it or is he coloring it?
He's coloring it with like a pencil.
Okay, like an eyebrow pencil.
To, like, fill
sort
it out.
Thing.
So it's like an eyeline. Yeah. And he just fills it a little.
Yeah, because I couldn't figure out.
Because he does that and then he like rubs it with his finger to like just think that's so funny.
Oh my gosh. And so
then, so yeah, they ask, they're like, all right, we have to go to the movies. The Mertzes are here. And so Lucy's like, well, so we'll just ask the Mertzes
what they think. They were of no
help. And
of
course, even before she can ask the question, they're like, oh, we love it. We think it's
so
wonderful.
Good.
It looks so good. And I didn't think it looked that good, to be fair. So I was surprised, because usually they're a bit more frank, you know, right. unless they think that, unless they've been told not to, or they think that they could get something out of it. So it just was a bit weird to me, because it doesn't look that nice, in my opinion.
And so, yeah, they did make a big fuss over it. And so, you know, that didn't help her cause, Lucy's cause at all. And, you know, he said, I have a perfectly good reason for having it. And I love this line. It's like, because he wants a divorce.
Wants a divorce. Yes.
And so, you know, he explains that he's going to be the star of the Technicolor film Moon Over Baghdad, you know. And so they're all excited about this potential movie role.
Because Latins are also Arabic.
Well, we could play for either one. I mean, it's, you know. And so what's funny is, of course, you know, they're questioning, when will this begin? Have you started shooting? Have you been picked? Have you been casted? Well, not exactly.
I love Lucy's sarcasm.
Oh, because so he says, yeah, list, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is the list? You know?
Oh, yes.
You write it down.
Yeah. My agent has a friend whose brother-in-law knows the talent scout's wife. Yes, and they all look at him like.
And Lucy's response is like, what are we waiting for? Let's pack. And I love that.
The sarcasm.
Okay, sass.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's explaining about this movie that he wants. Now, what's funny is that, well, later on, you know, it's spoiler alert, he's casted in it, but we never hear about it again, you know.
Never.
Never
again. But so this is weird to me. Lucy won't even go to the movies with him.
That's weird. That is
weird. Yeah. She's like, go. And then Vivian, being a true friend, says she'll stay. Now, listen, this story about the handlebars. Vivian says that her grandfather had handlebar mustaches, nice and long, which are the ones that curl up.
You can go like this with them.
They look like handlebars. Yeah.
The people watching us.
We'll put a photo up. But she said that they got rid of it. The grandma did by tying it around the bedpost and then yelling fire. Now, I understand. I 100% understand this is supposed to be a joke. It's supposed to land funny. All I could think in my head, though, was that could do some major damage. Could you imagine? First of all, how long would the handlebars have to be?
That they have to be dragging. They have to
be. Yeah, they wouldn't be handlebars. They'd be like,
yeah,
like whiskers or
very
something.
Very long,
you know? Like,
whiskers.
Yeah. But then also, if they were able to tie it and then yelled fire, that would do crazy damage.
Yeah, you'd rip off the top of your lip or something.
The whole lip would just be gone. I don't know. Definitely the skin. I don't know.
It was a very gruesome image to paint.
And all I could think was that. I was like, I know this is a joke, but that's all I could think of.
Kind of reminds me, like, when you were a kid, at least when I was a kid, my grandmother would do the whole, when you have a loose tooth and tie the string around your tooth and then close the door. I know it's probably considered child abuse today, but that's how we did it. Old school.
I've seen some videos of, like, people tying it to a ball with a billy, a pool ball, and then hitting the pool ball.
Oh,
and then
my God.
I've seen some big baseball, you know, hitting the baseball and that flying. So that's a little bit different because the tooth's already coming out. You
right.
Don't do
this
that
is much more
this.
Yanking your face, something off your face. So,
anyways. Yeah,
so then, after, you know, of course, as they leave to the theater, you have to throw in the Ethel likes to eat thing. So bring me some popcorn with extra butter.
The movie theater popcorn. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If my husband was going without me for some reason, I'd be like, popcorn. Bring
extra
a big
butter.
One.
Yeah.
Extra butter. Yeah, I could see that. I can get on board with that. So they're talking, and Lucy decides that this is when Lucy decides she's going to put on a mustache.
Naturally. Because that's the natural next best
that's
thought
the next
to
step.
Have.
Uh-huh.
As a fully formed grown woman, that's immediately what you think.
I would have just used like his ego against him or something, you know, so that, you know, people at the club wouldn't take him as seriously or something, you know,
right,
but no. I'm going to glue this
to my face.
My face, and make him shave it off. Now, Ethel, even though she says that that's the craziest thing, that like Lucy's topped it, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's still on board with it.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. So she tells Fred later when the guys come home. And the next day you see that they bring her
like a Santa Claus. Like a Santa Claus pull on. Now her idea was just to cut the mustache part and put it on. And, you know, Fred's kind of like, no, you're not going to mess up the, cause it's probably one of his costumes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just to make it cute, put it on, glue it, and we'll remove it.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, why not? I can do
that. What could go wrong? And so what they did was they put a little bit of spirit gum onto the, well, first of all, onto her lip. And well, that was the intention. And spirit gum, which, by the way, I hadn't heard of outside of I Love Lucy. Okay. And so what it is an adhesive made mostly of SD alcohol, 35A, the solvent of spirit, and resin, the adhesive or gum, originally consisting of mastic, used primarily for affixing costume prosthetics, such as wigs, merkins, or false facial hair. It's been manufactured since at least the 1870s. So that's what they were putting upon her top lip to,
and the rest of, yeah, like they put it on her cheeks.
Yeah.
On her lip.
So she looks like Santa after,
she does,
you know, putting that on her face.
Yes. A good looking Santa. So
she looks in the mirror and she points and says, Uncle Sam wants you, just like the poster of
poster. There's a lot of references there.
Oh, many
in this movie.
Yeah.
Or this movie, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's Santa Claus, there's the Smith brothers, which was a cough drop at the time, but they had big full beards. And then Monty Woolley, the bearded lady, which we'll talk about, Uncle Sam, and then a goat.
And Billy and a nanny goat. Yeah.
Yes, a Billy and a goat. So
she looks like Santa, and you know, she's, you know, Yang kind of pulling at her, make sure that she's, you know, the whole premise is really it's really childish. So, you know, Ricky? I think they leave and Ricky comes back. Uh-huh.
And what does Ricky say?
Are you sure you didn't grow this?
No, he says, Lucy, I'm home.
Does he?
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Colin heard it and he's like, oh, so one of the very few times that he says that? And I went, yes, I had to write it down, put it in caps, underlined it, because he says it. I mean, he doesn't say it in the, like, you know,
the typical Lucy, I'm home.
Yeah, be glad that I'm home. Yeah. He was just more like, Lucy, I'm home, like letting you know as he walks in the door.
Informing
you. Lucy, come here. Say hi to me. Love that I am home.
And the apartment's like this big, so the yelling is really not necessary.
Yeah. Okay. He basically says, does she say that she looks like a freak?
I don't remember the word freak, but
it was something like that. Stupid, freak, something. It was a very strong word about how she looked. But I mean, she does look weird. I'll take mine. I'll like take this off if you shave.
Right.
So that was the bargaining. He's like, no, that's not going to happen.
Right. We'll both just have this. And so, you know, he's like, fine. And we'll both just have beards and mustaches. And so he says something like, it'll be mustache cups marked his and hers, which is something.
Have you ever seen a mustache cup?
I have never seen a mustache cup. I was not aware it was a thing. Apparently they were pretty popular during the Victorian era, when most men had mustaches and beard. The cups had like a built-in protective thing, span.
Which I think is such a good idea, because sometimes mustaches can get grody.
Yeah, because what if you're eating like, something that's gets all over your, you know? And so that's what he meant by saying, of course, we can get mustache cups marked his and hers. And so he finally can't take it. You know, he looks over at her and is like, okay, fine, you win. By the way, yeah, that was an easy crumbling if I've ever seen it.
It was so easy.
So she's like, I can't take it.
It's a finally. Pretty drastic thing. I mean,
yeah, but wouldn't you just ignore it because you know it's a game? It's, you know,
I don't know.
She'll get tired of it.
Like, eventually. How long do I have to look at my wife in a beard? I don't know. Okay, so you're right. He crumbles really fast, and then how funny he finds it that it's stuck on her face.
Well, like, first, well, then
why didn't he just hold out?
He's like, so he goes to shave his own first before removing. Oh. You know, he that's the deal breaker. Fine, I will. And so she's got the shaver prepared, you know, for him. Yes, it's do I have to bleep this out? What's happening here?
S-C-H-I-C-K. Schick. How would you say that?
Schick.
A Schick 20 electric razor. You can actually still buy them.
Mm-hmm.
For about
Schick's still around.
$15. Yeah. I don't like that that very specific.
Oh, okay.
With the,
it's kind of like a rounded, you know, kind of
handheld. The nice leather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, it looks really cool. You can buy that exact one for between $15 and $20 on eBay. Gotta love eBay. So
he starts to shave off his finally. And you know, what about this little whisker? What do you call that one? I mean, she wants to make sure every single hair is out off of there. And it's and you just mentioned that he laughs because after he's done, it's her turn to remove this ridiculous thing she's got over her face. And she's like, okay, fine. Goes to pull on it and it's not coming off because it wasn't spirit gum.
Yes. So she calls Fred and she's like, what's going on? How do you get this off? And is it Ricky that goes back and gets the tube, or she does, whatever, one of them gets
he does, because she says, can you go get me the bottle that's on the nightstand or something? And so he goes to get it, and she starts freaking.
Lo and behold, it's Bulldog cements only be removed with Bulldog Cement Room Remover number 3. Now, Bulldog Cement is actually real.
Yes.
Yeah,
still exists today.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So I don't know what else to say. That's just, it's an actual brand. I didn't know that. Whenever I heard it, I thought they made it up.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they didn't really put cement on her face, but that's what they, you know, just what they said. So
Ricky is just doing the Desi infamous laugh, which is just unmistakable.
So funny. Which I was like, if you think it's that funny, you should have held out longer. Because it's now stuck on her face for who knows how long.
And so he's laughing that she can't take it off. And of course, like I said earlier, the line is, are you sure you didn't grow this? Because she can't take it off. And, you know, she's freaking out because she's very upset that it's only a Bulldog Cement Remover number 3 that they no longer make, is what can remove what's on her face. And so then Ethel, I think, comes in and she kind of laughs at it also, because she says she looks funny. I think she's wearing a hat and maybe men's clothing because she's kind of going headfirst into this new identity.
Oh, yeah, cuts a seat and she comes back and she's fully dressed up. She looks a bit like Colonel Sanders.
Oh, that's right.
Like a very rich Southern person. Because she said
she's got a cane.
Yeah, it's the only way she could go down to the drugstore to see if they had it, or the heart, whatever, the store.
Yeah, because you can't go in a dress.
Yeah, laughing. Exactly.
She's got this dress.
She could have used that, you know, get up she uses when she's doing the audition.
Oh, that's true. And so Ethel's there with her and she laughs at how she looks like when she's chewing. She says she looks like a nanny goat.
Yeah,
or a billy goat.
That. It's really funny. Like, they did that on purpose. I'm sure she exaggerated her chewing, but I always find that funny.
That she says, you look chewing. Like a billy goat. And then what's her next line? Only a nanny goat would notice it. It's like, my God. Oh, my gosh. And then Ethel says to set fire to it. And it's just,
oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So yeah, her first suggestion is to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
you know, tie it to an iron. Look at the ironing.
Iron, Apple has and then some very aggressive it. Ideas.
Right. And then Lucy goes to light a cigarette and then she has to put it on the extender. Which is supposed to what? Make it so that your hands didn't smell. And she says that's safer for her.
Yeah.
That, you know, not burn it. And then of course Ethel's like, wait, we could just burn it.
Set and fire to your face.
With a fire extinguisher mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. make sure it doesn't get out of control. And obviously Lucy's not okay with that.
So Fred comes in and he doesn't come in. He waves a white flag because he knows he's the one who caused this. Yeah. So she's kind of upset, or he's, you know, kind of you know, hoping to come in without causing any commotion. So he finds that he did find the Bulldog cement remover number 3, but it's in Chicago and it'll get there the next day. But the problem but they have,
they're what, air flighting it? Cause that's not a, you know, nowadays you can order something. I just ordered Game of Thrones. It'll be here tomorrow. Super excited. Ooh. That's normal nowadays. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
But,
right.
But back then you order something months later, you get it.
You forgot you ordered it. And, and so, you know, he's saying, but it'll be here for, you know, in a couple of days. And he's like, but the problem is Mr. Murdoch, the talent scout, supposed to be there that very evening.
Ricky. Yes. Ricky calls up. He's so excited. Right. Mm-hmm. And why? He knows she has a beard. I mean, maybe she's hoping. Right. But maybe inside of his head, he's like, oh, this is great. She'll be too embarrassed.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe, out. But knowing Lucy, obviously,
she maybe he assumed that she would make herself scarce and stay in the room or something.
Because she'd be too embarrassed. Yeah. Apparently not. Yeah. So she freaks out, though. But she's got all afternoon to figure out how she's going to audition. And Ethel and Fred kind of run out, too, because they're excited.
They're
and
they've got to get ready. Audition.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. That's how it always happens. Colin was like, why is it that whenever there's a scout, everyone just becomes stupid and they lose all sense? And I was like, I don't know.
Does any of it happen in the entire series? Why do these things? Why does Lucy have a beard on her face? These are not questions we can answer, Colin. I'm sorry.
Like, you've got to suspend disbelief.
Tons of it. So the talent scout is in the next scene, which is Mr. Murdoch. And the talent scout talent agent is played by John Brown, who is the second of 4 actors to play the role of Harry Morton, husband of Blanche, who's played by Bea Bernadette on the George Burns and Gracie Allen show in 1951. And so he first came to fame as friendly undertaker Digger Odell on the radio show, The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix. So he was actually, Brown's character was written off because he was blacklisted as a communist sympathizer, not unlike Lucy. But you know, nearly was, and he died suddenly in 1957 at the age of 53. And for some reason in my mind, I thought this John Brown actor appeared more, but it was just the one time. I don't know why his face seems so familiar to me, perhaps just from this episode, but
maybe, or you know what? He reminds me of Floyd from Floyd Barbershop. I can't remember the name of his character, but if you look at his face quickly, that's who he reminded
kind
me
of. Looks similar.
I actually had to look up to see if it was that character.
Okay.
But it's not. Okay. Also, I forgot to mention that when Fred was trying to figure out the last time he had used the face glue, the spirit, you know what I'm talking about.
The beard.
He said that it was when he was in a split, he played a split week in Peoria,
Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so an interesting thing about that is that there was this saying that was, will it play Peoria, which basically meant if you can get people to like it, that if it was a success in Peoria, Illinois, it would be a success anywhere.
That was like an indication of a successful show, or probably for vaudeville is probably what they were referring to.
Yeah, it was for the vaudeville, but the Emmy's like, good job. Yeah. He got it. He must have been good at his time, I guess.
So what I love here is, you know, he's trying to impress Mr. Murdoch, of course, a talent agent. And he's so he places his scrapbook onto the chair and then he, accidentally sits on it. What's this? Oh, Lucy must have been cleaning.
Biggest scrapbook I have seen in my whole life. It's like the size of
Is it the same scrapbook that they use? No, I think it's actually smaller now that I think about it. During the anniversary episode, remember they start looking at old photos of themselves? It's probably a smaller one.
Yeah, that one's smaller, I think.
Yeah.
This one's ginormous. I mean, I feel like we would remember it brought. I feel like he almost did that. They almost did that to be extra funny, you know? Because who has a scrapbook that big?
Yeah, it's pretty big. And so she, you know, he puts it down and sits on it accidentally, quote unquote. Uh-huh. And so, you know, he's like, oh, this is a scrapbook of all my, you know, accomplishments, all my performances. You know, he's like, oh, Mr. Murdoch, let's take a look at it. No, you don't want to be bothered with that.
And then as soon as he's like, all right, okay, never mind.
Now, don't we all hate when there's no follow-up insistence when someone calls your bluff, when you're like, no, yes, that's fine. And they're like, okay. Oh, no. Come on. Ask me again. Insist. And what I love is that he, you know, mentions Too Many Girls.
Too Many Girls.
Mm-hmm, which is the film when he and Lucille met, you know, with it's very familiar to all Lucy fans. And also
the Coco Cabana, mm-hmm, which again, guys, I know we talked about this a little bit, I think in the first episode, right? But the Copa Cabana, yes, had Brazilian decor, a Latin themed orchestra, and Chinese food.
Nothing goes together.
Could you just imagine they're sitting there eating like a sushi roll or crab ragu while watching Chorus Girls,
like samba, just people, just Latin music playing. It doesn't, your mind
disconnected, your brain, yeah,
can't figure out what's happening. And so,
sorry, Desi did actually, we talked about, he was in obviously Too Many Girls, but he also played at the Coco Cabana multiple times in real life. So it's kind of cool that they brought both of those into there.
And so then he starts using a record player to sing the song.
No. The Mertz is coming first.
The Mertz is coming first.
Yes. And they do their weird thing. I love that she has a record player attached to her back. They're both really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why he thought a snake on his hand.
Like a puppet.
You gotta like put that, a video of this,
Oh my gosh.
Why that was a good idea, but
yeah, the entire time the look on Mr. Murdoch's face is just horror, absolute horror. And so, yeah,
and basically he's just like, no.
So they perform, you know, that, like you said, the sort of like a Queen of the Nile dance that she probably did in her younger years. And Fred is doing something with his hand, but
as a snake. It's a snake, guys. The hand is a snake.
And what does Mr. Murdoch say? And so as they walk away, and they do it again.
Now I love how Ricky acts like this is the most embarrassing thing, right? He's like, oh, I'm so sorry for them. I'm sorry they came and bothered you. And then what does he do?
The exact same thing.
And do the exact same thing. He starts singing. Now I know that they were doing this in front of a lot live audience.
Mm-hmm.
So he was singing to them a little bit, but it was kind of weird when he had those moments where he wasn't even looking, he was like standing completely with his back to Mr. Murdoch, singing to the audience. And I was like, well, you're trying to impress Mr. Murdoch.
Right.
not the audience.
So yeah, it's one of those scenes, a little bit weird. It's one of those scenes, like, have you ever, you've seen the very cliche soap opera scenes where they're having a dramatic conversation, right? And someone's standing behind and they're looking towards the camera and they're, you know, let's say the woman's in front and she says, I can't believe you did this, right? And she's looking off to the distance and the guy's behind him. That's not how you would naturally speak. The guy would be like,
wait, are you talking to me? Hello?
Who pissed you off today? And so he starts to sing, conversation? Right? Yeah. I'll see you and see you, BA. I love this song. For some reason, I was under the assumption that this was his song, of course, just easily connecting Cuba and him. So I assumed this was his song.
Everything from Cuba is his.
And so just everything. And so I remember seeing this on the David Letterman show when he was much older. Desi Arnaz performed this song and he still was, you know, his vocals were still top notch. It was great to listen to. But this song was actually written in 1920, January 22nd, 1920. And it was intended to be a male vocal solo with an orchestra. Here, he did it on the recorder or on the record player because he can't have an orchestra in his apartment. And so the composer was Irvin Berlin, which has done a few of the songs that they've performed there. And the vocalist was Billy Murray. And I did listen to it on YouTube today, and it's very odd to not hear Desi sing it, you know, because it's a very Cuban song. And so that's when it was written in 1920, and he performs that song for Mr. Murdoch.
And Miss Murdoch's really not having it.
He's not impressed with anything.
And as soon as Ricky's done, you see Lucy's hand like come around and change the music.
Yes.
She just comes around. And so she comes in. Now she's the only one who's got, where did she get that costume?
Now, I have a question. This movie that he's auditioning for is A Moon Over Baghdad, which is, I assume, a Middle Eastern themed, movie. Why would he play a Latin song for him? I mean, everybody else got the memo,
right?
I mean, Ethel, Lucy, and Fred all did Arabic type performances, and he's like,
I don't know. I was always told when you were auditioning, at least at the high school level,
right?
When you were auditioning for a musical, you shouldn't sing a song from that musical, and I think that stands true with a lot of them because they want to see the range and maybe he was thinking along those lines, like, I want to show him, I don't know, or maybe he was just doing what he was comfortable with.
That's true.
Okay. But
so Lucy,
maybe they didn't know any. So Lucy sneaks in. She doesn't sneak in. She sneaks the song in, and then she barges in with her silks and her costume. Again, where did she get that costume? The other two, Fred and Ethel, had like costumes they threw together. You could tell, you know, they just,
Much like the ballet, like took one, Petunia, yeah. She just has costumes in that closet.
Has the costume, mm-hmm. And it fits perfectly. You know, that's what she's doing at home. The days that we don't see her, she's at home making these costumes. I need a ballet. I need Arabian Nights. I need Eskimo. Nights. I need all of these things.
You look like a trip. You look like a, an ad for A Trip Around the World, that one time when they were looking for costumes.
Yeah. But she comes in, she does this dance, and Mr. Murdoch's actually impressed.
Yeah.
He was like, he likes someone like you.
Of course, her mouth is covered. She's got mm-hmm. the,
like, he's like, so let's just see your face. Because, you know, you can't
audition without seeing the rest of your face.
Person.
Oh.
You can't hire an ugly dancer.
Well, that took a turn. So,
is that not, why would you need to see your face for any other reason?
Yeah.
Than to make sure you were pretty.
Right.
Anyways, she doesn't want to show her face, obviously. And so she starts like running away. And Ricky is, yes, show him your face.
And because so he's upset that they're sabotaging his audition. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get back by making him
He's upset that Mr. Murdoch likes her. right? Instead of him. And so he's like, well, if I'm going down, she's coming down with me. And so they pull down her veil, and she had cut it. So yeah. It wasn't as long. It wasn't Santa, but it was still
pretty
beard.
Shocking. Yeah.
And so he did that super exaggerated.
So after he's subjective to all of this nonsense in this apartment, he says something like, what is this? A stranded major Bowes unit. This is a reference
when she falls down on him. Yep.
Yes. Edward Bowes, a former military man, hence the title, who became a popular amateur hour host on TV and CBS radio. He sent scouting units out across the country to find talent for his program. So that's where that reference comes from. And so he's just like, I'm not having any of this. This is a crazy apartment. And he just runs out of there.
He leaves.
Just leaves.
But they find out later, we get to the next scene where Ricky comes in and we find out that Ricky's offered the role.
Right. Which we never hear of ever again.
And then they offer Lucy a role to play his father. Now, I know that she's got pride, but I almost feel like she would normally do it. Yeah.
She would totally do it. She'd be game because it would be 1 foot in the movie industry.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's shooting herself in the foot by saying no.
She says, I don't care what they pay me. I'm not going to play the part of your father.
I feel like she would have had such a good time playing the part of his father. Like, I think she would have done it. So that was one of those things that's a little off for what her character, you know,
right,
would play. But I thought that was good. This is just one of those episodes that's like,
it's random.
Funny. It's very random.
It felt like one of those that was a fill-in episode because the premise around it was a fake mustache. How do you do a whole 24 minute episode around her putting on a mustache?
Well, they did it.
Well, they sure did. But
you're right, because they become more, have more episodes under their belt and things like that, you start definitely with like the whole Europe trip, you start seeing it take more of a story.
Yeah,
you know, there'll be episodes that go together that create one story, and this one just felt like, we need something for this week, let's do this story, here's some random things, let's put them together, let's make a story.
Right.
It was still good, but you're right, we never hear about, you know, that again. We know
what came of it. No promotion.
Yeah
So,
and you would think with something like that, you're a star in a movie, something would happen, right?
Yeah, they get much more intense and much more detailed about something like that when they start doing the Don Juan casting
in season 4.
Mm-hmm. And so
in,
of course,
5 or 6 years we'll get to that.
That's okay, we do things our way. For example, after, you know, we'll be posting a review soon, hopefully, of the documentary, Lucy and Desi documentary, which will be released as we record tomorrow, tomorrow, the 4th of March. And so we, you know, like to explore. We have interviews, we have guests, we have, you know, it's more than just the episodes, which is what I think people enjoyed, because we could just go down every episode and I think people enjoy the variety. We are a variety show. We are the Vaudeville podcast.
So yes, there you go.
We're gonna make it big in Peoria, is what I'm saying.
Mertz and Kurtz, we need something.
We gotta rhyme like our names.
Well, that doesn't really work.
Ziva and Diva. Oh my god.
Are you a diva? Ziva and Diva? You're the diva.
I can be if you want me to.
Oh my gosh. Hello. Oh my gosh. You just the no, next episode, Cole. Just the whole thing.
Okay. If it so requires I'm the diva. Me doing that, I'll be Ziva. You'll be the diva. I cannot do that cadence. I'm sorry. I take pride in my manly voice. I can't do that.
I take pride in my voice too, but I feel like I made a fun of enough of those voices that I got really good at it.
I think we totally
did. It always threw people. They'd see me and then I'd do that and go, yeah, what?
I'm sorry, the Valley Girl. But that was the mustache. And, you know, again, it feels like it was like a quickly put together, throwaway episode. A good one nonetheless, you know, memorable. But
It's one of those ones that are cute.
It's cute. I wouldn't call it a favorite. I even forgot about it until we had to review it, you know.
But yeah, I actually thought that I skipped an episode in my mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of forgot about it too. But it's, I watched it. I was like, that's cute. I remember it. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. So
with that said, find us everywhere. We are on all streaming platforms. Send us any emails, and because we get some pretty neat people, you know, reaching out to us.
And guys, if you reach out to us, you know, sometimes we reach back out to you and ask you to be in interviews. So we've got a few people on our docket that we're going to ask. So yeah.
Find us on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, and Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com. Please rate and review us because we do appreciate that.
We'd like to know what we're doing good, well, or horribly.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.